With your Money Briefing, I'm Charlie Turner at the Wall Street Journal. Coming up, J.R. Whalen will talk with financial security expert Pamela Yellen about why most people stop working much earlier than they planned. First, here are some money headlines. It looks like recession fears have taken a rest at Home Depot. The home improvement retailer reported lower second-quarter earnings, though they topped estimates. But its sales and its same-store sales growth fell short of forecasts. Home Depot also lowered its sales forecast for the entire fiscal year, citing the effect of falling lumber prices and warned that the effects of tariffs on consumers could weigh on growth. Yet Home Depot stock rose Tuesday, indicating that investors had expected worse. The Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street says investors' low expectations may reflect ingrained skepticism over Home Depot's ability to weather a weak housing market. Home sales were down in the first half of this year from a year earlier, and home price gains have moderated, so it's natural to worry the company has experienced a dent in demand. But Home Depot appears far less tied to home sales than it was prior to the housing bust. This seems to be driven in part by many homeowners' decision to invest in the house they already have, rather than going out and buying a new one. President Trump, while maintaining that economic growth remains strong, said the White House is examining proposals to bolster the economy, including reducing capital gains taxes. Mr. Trump said his administration was looking at various tax cuts, including a proposal to reduce capital gains taxes by indexing them to inflation, a move that would disproportionately benefit wealthy Americans. Allowing taxpayers to adjust their cost basis for inflation might encourage people to sell long-held assets, but it would also reduce taxes by about $100 billion over a decade, according to one study. Mr. Trump also said he had thought about a payroll tax cut for a long time, but said nothing was imminent on that front.
Age is just a number, right? Well, while 65 has been traditionally the age most people project they'll retire, more and more people plan to work past 65, and one reason being they haven't saved enough for retirement. But research shows a sizable number of people wind up retiring earlier than they planned. Pamela Yellen is a financial investigator and founder of the Bank on Yourself Financial Planning Company. She's on the line with us to explain why. So, Pamela, the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College keeps tabs on these numbers. Half of workers expect to work past 65. That's up from 16% in 1991, but things don't always go as planned, and it comes down to unexpected events and, as you call them, shocks. Health shocks are a main factor that force early retirement.
Absolutely. And actually, there's a new survey by Transamerica that shows that as many as 56% of workers overall retired earlier than they had planned. And only a small percent of them said that they actually retired because they could afford to retire early. And as you mentioned, there are three main reasons why people are forced to retire early. The biggest one being health problems, either existing health problems or new health problems that force people to stop working sooner than planned. And number two is employment shocks. That's the number two reason, because you get laid off, the business closes, you can't find a new job, or you can't find one that's a good fit.
And I suppose it's really hard to predict one's health, so that can really come out of left field to somebody.
Absolutely. And they are the main reasons that you might not be able to work as long as you had planned. You could have an existing health condition that gets worse. Maybe it's arthritis or another chronic condition that worsens over time. Or maybe you're in good health at age 55 and you plan to work till, say, 67 to increase your savings. But then you develop a major health problem unexpectedly that forces you to stop working sooner than you had hoped for.
And then there's another variable with moving parts to it that can really come out of left field and be a shock to people, and that involves members of their family.
Yes, family shocks could include anything from your spouse being forced to retire early, or you may have to take care of a child, a parent, or your own spouse, and that actually happens quite frequently. It could be a change in your marital status. Maybe you get divorced. All of those things are, once again, unpredictable.
But people can plan ahead for these unexpected events, and you suggest that they assume they'll have to retire earlier than they planned.
Yeah, because there's a 50-50 chance that you will. So given that that's the case, why not save more now while you're actually able to do so?
Now, you're the author of The Bank on Yourself Revolution, and you say that regardless of their age, people should, in fact, save more each year starting now, and there are specific target numbers.
Yeah. According to a new study by the Stanford Center on Longevity, people should be saving 10 to 15% of their income for retirement, and that's if you plan to retire at age 65 and you started at age 25. But the vast majority of people are actually only putting away 6 to 8% of their income every year, which is only half of what they should be saving. And that's probably why, according to a new study from the World Economic Forum, the typical 65-year-old retiring today will run out of their savings an average of 10 years before death.
Wow. And so don't get locked into the single-digit percentage that's offered by, let's say, the 401k program at your work. Try to be more creative and more aggressive.
Keep in mind that most people are saving based on the idea that they will be able to work until age 65, 66, or even beyond. And then when they're forced to retire earlier than that, they're really going to have a savings shortfall. And here's something else that people really need to keep in mind, and this is one of the biggest things we're finding people are not aware of. You need to account for the medical expenses that you're going to have in retirement. There's a new study that came out last month from the Milliman, that's the health cost index company. They analyze healthcare costs, and they revealed that even a healthy 65-year-old couple retiring today will need, I hope you're sitting down, they're going to need an inflation-adjusted $551,000 to cover out-of-pocket medical expenses not covered by Medicare, and that's assuming you just live an average lifespan. And JR, that figure of $551,000 is more than four times more than the typical pre-retiree household has saved altogether, according to the latest Federal Reserve Survey of Consumer Finances.
Oh my goodness, these numbers have spiraled out of control.
They have.
And then it seems like a no-brainer, but also you suggest that people don't risk what they can't afford to lose.
Yeah. I ask people to examine and answer this question. Is the money that you are saving for retirement money that you can afford to lose? And if not, then why is the bulk of it at risk in volatile, unpredictable investments? And again, according to the Federal Reserve Survey of Consumer Finances, the vast majority of people have almost no savings whatsoever outside of the market.
So it's a good idea to put cash away as cash and not something that can lose value.
Cash or things that can earn you safely a higher rate of return than cash.
So people could put money away as cash and not something that would be beholden to the market going up or, you know, as it tends to do, go down.
True, but the problem with cash is that it is, you need a magnifying glass to see the growth on your money and if you have it in cash. So there are some things that you can invest in, and I would say they're not truly investments because they don't involve the possibility of loss, that will give you a much higher guaranteed return on your investment. And one of the things that I think people need to look at is high cash value, low commission, dividend paying, whole life insurance. That's insurance that's structured to grow your cash value significantly faster than the whole life policies that most people know about, while cutting the commission paid to the insurance agent by about 50 to 70%, which means that money goes to grow your cash value a lot faster. And the growth in these policies, it's not a magic pill. It's not something you can put under your pillow and wake up rich the next day. But the growth in these policies over time, if structured correctly, is equal to about a 6 to 7% return that you would have to get, say, in a tax-deferred investment in a 401k or an IRA, it's equal to that over time. And you don't have the risk of market losses. It's based on an asset that's grown in value every single year for more than 160 years. It's never had a losing year, including during the Great Depression, the Great Recession, and every single economic bust in between.
All right. When we're talking about retirement, low risk is always a good idea. And that is Pamela Yellen on the line with us. She's a financial investigator and founder of Bank On Yourself, and she's good enough to join us on the line. Pamela, thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.